Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and that's the only place to listen to wrestling, I do believe. Yes, dig it. Yeah.
Edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am, of course, the host. I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can find me at Folsom County on the Twitter. Joining me, as always, thank God he's here, it is the above-average comedian, and he even has a laugh track, the above-average comedian, the man,
Colin Chico. Hold on.
Hey, shut up in there!
My producer. You can find me on Twitter at TedLaw83.
And of course, our wrestling and MMA analyst, it is none other than Omega Squad Chris Green. Where can the fine people find you, Omega?
Oh, the fine people may find me on the Twitter sphere at Omega Squad.
Now, before I get started, I got to get this in. We have a sponsor.
What?
I want to play it. So I can say,
get off the air.
Before anything happens. So here we go, Beaverbrook Motors.
Beaverbrook Motors is located in Runnymede, New Jersey. They offer fast and reliable towing, as well as emergency road services. In addition, Beaverbrook Motors offers a full service collision center. Beaverbrook Motors is conveniently located at 1253 North Black Horse Pike in Runnymede, New Jersey, 08078. For more information, call 856-931-8882 or check out beaverbrookmotors.com.
Okay. That's one. Check off one.
It's historic.
Yes. We have a sponsor. Eat that, people.
So there we go. Beaverbrook Woo! Motors, of course, right there in Runnymede, New Jersey. If you get into an accident, God forbid, go there.
Yeah, don't go anywhere else. Beaverbrook Motors.
Beaverbrook Motors.
Beaverbrook Motors.
Shout out to Beaverbrook Motors. Now, tonight...
Shout out to Butters.
Tonight we are going to be joined by Matt Saigon for the historic third time in a row. This is a first in Hell in a Cell Talk Radio where we enjoyed the conversation so much that we just had to bring them back for a third night.
Yeah.
You might... Go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say that the original show on Wednesday was on the line to be so historic. And it just fell apart underneath our feet. I personally blame, like I said yesterday, I blame T-Mobile.
I blame T-Mobile as well. How about you, Omega?
I think we should hang T-Mobile in effigy.
Yeah. And you know what? I know who blames T-Mobile.
You know, and that exclusive audio will be put out there for the world to hear exclusively at HIACtalkradio.com.
And he will be our guest, I think, the whole show next week.
That's what he said. He said he wanted to join us the whole show. And if you follow Bob Levy on Twitter at the Rev Bob Levy, you saw today he's upset again with Howard Stern.
Yes. And so, make sure, hashtag T-Mobile sucks.
So perhaps we'll have a chance to talk to Bob Levy about that. But more importantly tonight, we're just literally hours away, less than 24 hours away from New Moon Rising Wrestling, and of course that is Crowning Glory tomorrow night, 7 p.m. I'll be there. It's going to be the Carnival of Carnage.
I'll be there.
As I present two of the toughest men that have ever walked in, that have ever stepped foot inside New Moon Rising Wrestling, I present the Masked Maulers.
Who? What?
The Masked Maulers, part of the Carnival of Carnage.
The Masked Maulers.
Yes.
Even Chris knows you're full of crap.
I just really like alliteration.
Beaverbrook Murders and Max.
A Carnival of Carnage.
A Carnival of Carnage. But this is just totally titastic.
I would think that two of the toughest guys in the business would be able to come up with a better name. That's just me.
Hey.
Who? Me? I'm not with him on this one.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not blaming you.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that, you know.
If they were actually as tough, yes. If they were that tough, why hide themselves behind masks? You know what? Because they don't want to be held accountable for the violence and brutality that they will bring tomorrow night.
They could just not do the violence.
Ooh, violence! But more
importantly, I'm a fan of violence, though, so.
More importantly, our guest is here. Let's get it started before we lose everything yet again. We'll have Saigon right after this.
Ensure all residences are secure with all doors and windows firmly locked and barricaded.
Don't fret, precious, I'm here.
Tell the fire department.
Yeah, what the hell is going on? I played that game, and now we got this.
Hey. The fire department got a job to do. It's 100 degrees out, and I am currently walking through the park because my gym is literally across the street from the park, and I just got done working out. How you doing?
How are you doing? That's. But here's my first question. You and Damian Dragon, of course, formed Fusion DS. I just want to know, looking back at that time that you had with Damian, what was that like for you?
That was interesting to say the least. We are very, pretty much bipolar opposites. But it was, we got slammed together and we made it work. And it was just an amazing time. He pushed me, I pushed him. It almost came down to he was ready to retire right before we got together, and I was ready to hang up my boots because I was sick of the business. And when we got put together, you know what? We said, we're going to make this work. So we took the ball and literally rolled it down a cliff, and there was no stopping.
After the split, I mean, when you went into the ring the first time by yourself without him in your corner, did you feel you were ready at that point? Did you have everything you needed to go?
Absolutely. I always loved being a singles competitor. I thought I would thrive a lot better as a singles competitor. So I had no problem transitioning from tag team status to a singles competitor. It was weird because usually I get like a 5-minute like breather because Damian usually gets his butt kicked in that meantime. But yeah.
Now, go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I was going to ask, when you guys, when you had that match against each other, I mean, were you nervous at all going into it, or was it just like clockwork and on autopilot?
Clockwork and Autopilot. You're a professional wrestler. There is no time. You don't have to prepare for anybody. You go in, you do your job, you do the best you can, and see what happens.
Now, the response to that match, was that something that you guys were expecting, or did it really blow you away that people really responded to that match with Damian?
It kind of blew us away. Which one are we talking about? Are we talking the regular match in March or the no DQ match in April?
The no DQ.
The no DQ. Behind the scenes, he was not in the best of spirits that night. For some reason, his head was not in the game. But the first punch I threw at him really hit him, and we were gone from there. When we were in there, we knew we had everything. I think a couple of times we were just like, we have it. And we just kept going, and the response we got off of that was just overwhelming and phenomenal. Two brothers working each other. You know what's going on. You want to root for both of them. But either way, everybody wins, and it was just magic.
Now, going into New Moon Rising Wrestling, you guys started out there at the relaunch back in October. You took on the Untouchables. As time went on in the ladder match this past January, you guys win the tag team titles. Along the line, Damian retires after the Super 8. So you're kind of left on your own at that point. Now, my first question is, were you upset that you didn't have a chance to find another tag partner, or did you look at it as a brand new, fresh start as a singles competitor in New Moon?
In wrestling, I've been let down so many times, and I don't want to take negative, just look at everything as a positive. So Damian leaving, I sensed it coming, but like I said, I'm always ready for the next challenge, and that is the New Moon Rising Heavyweight title.
Now, going back a little bit further, now, did you know going into the Super 8, because of course you guys drove together many miles, did a lot of things together, going to the Super 8, did you know that was, like, so to say, the last ride that you were taking with Damian?
Yeah, I think we were on, I picked him up at his house, we were on our way to a wrestling show, I forget where, he's like, Matt, I got some news for you, and I was just like, you're retiring, aren't you, at Super 8? And like I said, we're brothers. Like, I knew exactly what he was going to do. And he was just like, yeah, you're right. So you could sense it. I sensed it because I know him. I know him so well. But, brothers know each other, you know?
Mm. When you were first, you know, you split up and you're going single, were you ready right away, I want a title shot, or were you just going to take your time and wait for it?
Hell no, I want a title shot. I have something to prove. I still have something to prove. It's still to this day, people think that, like, I'm still living under Damian Dragon's shadow, or just anything. I don't need Damian Dragon to boost my career. I mean, I love him to death, but it's just like, I got into this business for one goal, and one goal only is to be the best wherever I can go. And if creative has something for me, I'm going to create my own.
Right. On a night like this coming up Saturday, a potential to have 2-3 matches tops, do you prepare any differently on a night like that than you do for when you're just wrestling one match, or is it the same?
Well, I just got done the gym. I just got done doing like a 2-hour workout, so I'm always ready. You guys seen us at the Samoan Cup? We did 3 matches together.
Yeah.
For me, after I'm done one match, I want to go and I want to go and I want to keep going. So there is no different preparation under the fact that there is going to be 3 different people I'm going to wrestle if I get to the finals. So right now, just looking at Crazy Ivan. I know he's a little crazy. Hell, that's why they call him that. So I'm going to take that, and I'm going to roll with it. As soon as I find out the other competitor, the game may change. You know, I have a lot of tools in my arsenal I could use.
Well, I'm looking at the brackets right now, and it's yourself and Ivan, of course. But Keikoa is in the same bracket. He is taking on Tyrino. So there is a possibility that you could take on a very good friend in Keikoa the Flying Hawaiian. How do you, I mean, of course, nothing is set in stone. Nobody knows anything because tournaments are very unpredictable. But do you look at that as, I mean, I could be taking on one of my best friends in this business.
Absolutely. I think I put on Twitter not too long ago, Keikoa is 5-0 over me. And if it gets to that point, like, we are best friends, but I'm kind of tired of losing to him. It's definitely my time. Everybody has their shine. So if it comes down to it, I know what I did wrong the last five matches. I won't let it happen again.
So you're looking to break that string of five matches.
Yeah, I am never. I'm not going to go to the Hall of Fame saying, "Man, I never beat Keikoa." You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
To get to the heavyweight title, if I have to go through him, I'm going to go through him. I'm going to go through everybody I possibly can.
That's a good way. Now, how do you prepare? You brought it up. How do you prepare for a guy like Crazy Ivan? I mean, he's very unorthodox.
Oh, he's very unorthodox, but then again, so am I. I'm also the guy who tied someone up in the tag rope and proceeded to kick his ass for like a solid 5 minutes, but that's neither here nor there. That's the thing. He is well known to be Crazy Ivan. I've known him since I started in this business. I know what he's about. He's very unpredictable, but he is very predictable if you know him. What people don't know is how unpredictable I can be, so that is in my favor.
Okay, so let's say you somehow make it through this entire tournament. You're standing tall, you've won the title. I mean, what does that... Can you even prepare for a moment like that?
No, you really don't prepare for any type of moment. You live in the moment. At the end of that night, if all goes according to plan and I am heavyweight champion, it's a feel-good, live in the moment, this is what I live for, you know, expression. So, you know, I'm excited. Like, I never say, yeah, I'm definitely going to win, but I have a good feeling I'm going to win because I'm hungry and I want it.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I want to go back in time here. You started out with NWA Force One, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir, I did.
Now, I know you had issues with your trainer and everything, but looking back at NWA Force One, we, of course, had on Anthony Graves, who said great things about you. MLJ was also on, as we look back at NWA Force One. If you look back at NWA Force One, what are some memories? Because you were a singles competitor there. So what are some memories from NWA Force One?
Camaraderie. Best thing in the world. Before it was NWA Force One, it was just called Force One. I think 2 years down the line, we established an NWA affiliate. Force One to me was home. It was home. That's where I lived. That's where I breathed. That's where I learned my craft. That's where I fell in love with wrestling. I was the first student to graduate. Everybody after that, you know, we were all family. We did everything together. We wrestled together. You know, like I said, it was home. Anthony Graves, loved the kid to death. Helped train him from day one. And I have nothing but great things to say about him and MLJ. He's a fantastic guy. Everybody there, back in the day, we had one goal, and the thing that brought us together was the love for wrestling. So there's nothing more to say. It was one of the greatest times in wrestling, and I miss those days so much. But, you know, it just dwindled apart to the end. Everybody separated. You know, some people just got bad attitudes sometimes and just outside people just made it fall apart.
Okay. Yeah, that's a shame when something like that happens, because it was really, for the 3 or 4 years it was around, it was really one of those promotions that was very hot. Of course, Sammy Callahan was there booking at the time, somewhere along the line, and it just really was one of those can't-miss promotions.
Yeah, Callahan came in about 2.5-3 years into the game, and he kind of changed the way Force One was presented. We went from being like a family show to almost like one of those indie shows. It did bring in a lot of up-and-comer guys. We had the Osirian Portal. We had Lindsay Dorado. We had DJ Hyde there. You know, a lot of guys from CZW and Chikara. So it brought in a lot of competition, and I think we all thrived on that. But a lot of backstage behind-the-scenes stuff happened, and again, it just... After that, it just fell apart. It was mismanaged, from my opinion. And, again, they're your friends, they're your family, but it's hard to trust people.
I got you. Now, Matt, I am going to call, of course, right now, there is another show on Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to be on hold for a while. Are you sure you want to do that?
Are you sure?
Well, we can. Yeah. Most likely.
Well, we're going to try to call Nerd Herders and, of course, see if Damien has anything to add live on air, because I like to push that envelope. So here we go.
Go ahead.
I'm telling you, we're going to be on hold.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
I got to do it the other way.
Our wrestling DVDs to put on.
I got to do it the other way. Just pardon me. I'm going to
call it. They're talking wrestling. That's not bad.
Yeah, I know. See? Okay, we're going to add people to this call. See, this is what happens when you do things live and off the cuff, Matt. We got you.
Understandable.
Yeah, let's see. Add the call.
Yeah,
there we go.
We're all still here.
That's a good thing.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please. You are now in the host queue.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything. I won't say anything. Yes, dear. We got to make that a soundbite. We got to totally make that a soundbite now.
Well, we're waiting.
Told you.
Okay, here is Danny. With her book pick of the week. Hey, Danny.
Hello.
Hey, Danny with her book pick of the week.
Hello, Miss Mitten.
Well, since this is part two of our comic book discussion, and I know that this week we're going to talk about graphic novels, I
told you.
Well, I figured there was nothing going on at the time.
Obvious,
yeah.
Which I'm sure you will talk.
Well, we'll try in a minute. We'll try to get them back, okay, Matt?
I'm telling you, let me say something to him.
Go ahead and say something to him. Go
ahead. Thank you very much.
Well, I was going for the surprise factor, Dan. Now, Matt...
I won't tell him exactly why we're calling.
I have another question while we're waiting for this. Now, Ring of Honor, you and Damien, of course, had a few matches down there. Of course, you had a great match with the Headbangers. Now... Has there been any interest since you become singles, or has that door kind of closed for you at this point?
At that point in time, the door is pretty much closed. We did our stint there. I don't know how it works. It's not like they say, hey, you have 3 matches, impress us. So we did a dark against the Bravados. We did a squash match for the World's Greatest Tag Team. And we had the internet show with the Headbangers. Got nothing but love for the Headbangers. But we haven't heard anything since. Then again, it was one of those times just like we tried. If we're not what they're looking for, we're not what they're looking for. You know, I'm not gonna hustle or anything like that to get in the Ring of Honor. If they want Matt Saigon, they know where to find Saigon.
There you go. I know where to find Saigon, too.
Hey, Matt, have you heard anything back from Vanguard Championship Wrestling down in Virginia?
Yeah, I believe next Saturday we're going down there to wrestle. I don't know what the match is, but I know me and Keikoa, we're booked on that card, so...
Oh, no.
No, I think he's fine. I think he was just waiting for us.
I was waiting for you.
Oh, okay. It broke up on my end. Go ahead, Dee.
I was just wondering, you have this other show, Lucky 13. That's on the 26th. Do you have anything to say about that? Is that your debut there?
That is my debut there. I got an invite to go there from the Blue Meanie, and I'll be riding with him along with Stevie Richards all the way up to Connecticut on Friday night to wrestle what seems to be a very green competitor by the name of Andy McKenzie. I can say that he's green because he said himself in a promo that he's green. Never tell me you're green, you dumb. Anyways, that will be my debut up in that promotion, and I am not there to put anybody over, if you catch my drift. I am there to dominate like I always do. Now, we got that Friday night. It's Saturday night. We're down in Virginia for Vanguard Championship Wrestling. That, my friends, is a long road drive.
Yeah, you drive past me, dude. I mean, that is far. That's down in, that's Richmond or further?
I don't know. Kay's driving, so I'm going to be asleep practically because, you know, I got to go up to Connecticut, drive through tonight. I'm going to be like, yo, you're driving, I'm going to sleep. I'll drive on the way home.
So I knew you guys, I was going to hitch a ride with you guys and buy dinner once, but that never happened. I might have to take up on that.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, that's the love of the business right there. You get in the car with people you love, and you go on these wrestling trips. That's what we live for. That's hopefully the day I get hired someplace up north and I live out of a suitcase and go from, you know, venue to airport to car rides to whatever. That's my dream. That's my life, and that's what I shoot for.
Now, how are you getting to that point? I know you're taking a lot more bookings now. You're trying to get your name out there. But how are you trying to reach those goals?
If anybody out there in Radio Land knows how to get there, please call in and tell me how. I have sent in applications. I have called them numerous times. And I don't know. I guess it's a luck of the draw. I've seen a lot of my friends in wrestling have dark matches and people behind the scenes. I get to see them. But I'm waiting for my call. I'm telling you, just give me one opportunity, and I will not let you down.
All right. Sounds great, Matt. Now, I have heard from Nerd Herders. They are a little backed up tonight. They have a lot of calls in queue. They won't be able to get to us. However, I just want your last thoughts. As I said, we're less than 24 hours away from what could be one of the biggest nights in your career. What are your final thoughts going in to Crowning Glory tomorrow night?
Crowning Glory, Matt Sagan going in, Matt Sagan coming out, heavyweight champion. I stated it when I came out, I had to relinquish the tag team titles, that it's my time. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of creative have nothing for you. I'm just tired of being left on the mid-card. I want the main event. I want heavyweight titles. I want to be the best in this business. The only way to be the best is to become the best. And that right there is going to be the first stepping stone in the long career of Matt Sagan.
Matt, I do want to thank you for hanging in there with us. It was tough getting you on, but we finally got it, and we finally have your thoughts on, like I said, perhaps one of the biggest nights in your career. I do want to thank you for coming on, and I'll see you tomorrow at Crowning Glory.
No, I'll be there in rare form.
All right, Matt.
Big ass, Matt.
Thank you so much, and yeah, like I said, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, have a good night, guys.
You too now.
Thank you, sir.
All residences are secure with all doors and windows firmly locked and barricaded.
Precious, I'm here.
right, so that was Matt Saigon, and tomorrow night, Crowning Glory. Of course, first round, you have Crazy Ivan taking on Matt Saigon. You also have Keikoa the Flying Hawaiian taking on Ty Reno. Pretty boy, Ty Reno. You also have Justin America taking on...
the guy that's going to beat him.
Stop it. He is taking on O-Dog. And, of course, Mike Reed taking on So High LJ Snooze.
Boy.
So that is coming tomorrow. But what I want to do now... of course, on Wednesday, we had Harry Barnett. He had a big announcement about his documentary. And, of course, we were joined by another competitor in this tournament, the Elite Eight, Justin America. So we'll be back after this to talk about it. Here we go. Joined by the great Harry Barnett. Harry, how are you doing tonight?
Dean, you know, it's 3 a.m., but I am still as great as usual. But the real question is, how are you?
I've had better nights, to be quite honest. Yeah. But, well, Harry, you came to me, you said, I want to come on and talk about my documentary. The floor is all yours,
actually,
sir.
Obviously, like you said, the purpose of coming on tonight was the documentary. Basically got two updates, and just quickly before I do the main reason for me being here, the first one was that now there's actually an official website out, www.justgiving.com/Harry-that-little-line-gimmick, B-A-R-N-E-double-T. But what are you laughing at? You may know what a dash is. Some people, I'm not going to name names, maybe some dumb rednecks in particular, may not know what a dash is.
Sorry.
Go on, carry on. You sounded like you wanted to say something there, Dan.
No, I was going to say, I just said sorry.
Don't say that word, Dan. Come on, it's worse than the other word that I don't like. But, No, basically, anyone out there in blog talk radio land, I know that's kind of a bad word tonight, anyone that may want a DVD of the movie, that may want a raffle ticket, I'll explain that in a little bit, anyone that wants any of those, you just donate to the website, and basically the money goes straight to a charity that is very personal to me. This charity gets 100% of the money. I'm not taking a single thing. If I have to give any money out to any particular place or people, it's coming out of my pocket. And, well, that's the first update.
Okay. So this is a completely non-profit documentary, is the way I'm understanding it. And as such, any type of costs, whether you have to pay somebody for an interview, whether your travel, because you're coming to America obviously for this, any type of cost is coming directly out of your pocket. You're giving this money to what cause?
The charity is basically called Woking Hospice, and yeah, they're getting every bit of income from this DVD. Basically, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Just Giving website. It's quite good if you want to somehow fundraise for a place. And obviously, when I had the idea for the documentary, this came to me pretty quickly. but, you know, I've only just vocalized it recently.
Okay, so why in particular this cause? Are you giving all the proceeds to this cause?
Well, they've, I'm not going to go too much into it, but they have done a lot of good for someone close to me, and basically they do that for people, well, quite a few people every single day. So if they make one a difference to one person like me, then they're really making a difference to a lot of people as well, not just me.
Okay, now let's dive a little bit into the documentary itself. We know where the money's going. We know you're giving it to this great cause. What about the documentary? Do you have any details? Do you have, like, a starting point fleshed out yet? Anything going on with the documentary?
Well, Dean, that's a great question, and you seem like a great guy, just to take a little line from Robert there. That is where I actually transition into update number two. You see, I've talked to various people in the past 24 hours to ask if this was all right to announce, and, you know, I got the all clear, so I figured that's when I got in touch with you. Update number two is actually who the first, let's say the first bit of talent announcement for who will be involved. And that is actually someone very close to all of us in New Moon Rising, because I will obviously be heading over to America, to you guys, and I'll be bringing my camera to the September show.
Ooh. So the first interview, the first person involved, is a New Moon Rising wrestling star?
Yes, sir.
Well, who is it? I'm dying here.
See. But that hasn't been decided entirely yet, but the fact that, you know, I'll be around that day, then I may decide between now and then, or I may have to wait till then.
That actually is a nice bridge to the next thing I wanted to talk to you about, which is your anniversary show coming up this weekend.
Ah, yeah, we had something really quite good on there. Do you have any ideas what that was?
Yeah, me.
That would be me. We have a great hour-long interview if people want to get into the mind of the Dean of Credibility.
I wouldn't recommend
come
it.
Come on. Show him respect, Dan. Show him respect. Come on,
but
Dan.
Yeah,
treat this man with respect. Treat our guests with respect, as you don't on our show, Dan.
That's because you don't have anybody on there usually worthy of my respect.
I'm going to ignore that.
Dan, do you have any questions for Harry?
Harry, what are you looking to get out of this documentary? What exactly do you want to film, and what is it all about?
Well, the actual purpose for the movie is obviously the alleged death of professional wrestling. So many people out there are claiming, oh yeah, it's dead, it's dead, it's not what it was. And, you know, me being the, should we say, the great man that I am, I want a positive outcome. So, you know, basically at the end of it all, I want to show that it's not dead. You know, there's many great things still alive about the sport, the entertainment of professional wrestling.
Now, are you looking to work with other wrestling companies? Are you going to just use mainly New Moon as your focus?
Well, I've actually been talking with various other places. Some of them, you know, have not gone so well. Some of them are sort of still up in the air. And, yeah, I am going to try and talk with various other places as well, film various other things. But, no, New Moon will obviously be the main place because of the fact that, you know, that is the reason I'm coming over, is to
what?
The September show. So,
what kind of resistance are you getting from other companies?
Well, let's just say that there's a certain place that when I first contacted them, you'd say that it was a long shot me ever getting them involved. I'm not going to name names. The second one, well, let's just use three examples.
Is the owner, in fact, a douchebag?
Would you say the owner or the son-in-law?
The owner.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
There's a second one which is actually quite local to here. Again, I won't name names, but that they've been quite, how shall we say, rude.
Oh.
And then there was a third one where they just ignored my email, and they happened to be claiming that they are a worldwide company that people care about when they're only just ROH.
Who?
Exactly.
Right.
Well, Harry, this sounds like a great documentary. I like the idea behind it. I like the cause that you're giving it for. Definitely wish you luck, and I can't wait to see you in September. Now,
finally,
my next guest will be Justin America. He wants you to stay on the line, so hold on just a second.
That's something I can do.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Justin America. Justin, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing, Dean?
I've had better nights, as I told Harry. Harry Barnett, of course, is here. The great Harry Barnett. And Dan and Chris are here as well. So
I would like to also ask the great Harry Barnett how he's doing.
So tonight, a true American is on the line with a great man. I'm doing great, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And I just wanted to ask Dean's co-host, Omega Squad, how are you doing?
I'm doing tremendous, Justin. How are you doing?
Well, I'm glad everybody's doing good. That's involved with the Dean Diction Show.
Yes, indeed. Now, Justin, just coming up this Saturday, we are just mere hours away when you will be crowned the New Moon Rising Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. Now, let me just... How are you feeling going into this?
Now that your man's not in it, confident. I do feel slightly... What's the word I'm looking for? Ashamed that I can't give the fans the greatest main event of their lives. Me versus your man, of course, Joe Gacy. But, you know, I guess against some illegal alien, that'll work. An American versus an illegal alien.
Yes, so who are you paired against in that upcoming round, in the quarterfinals here?
Well, I'll be facing O-Dog first, which...
Well, that's an easy victory.
Yeah, that's an easy one. He's gonna be drunk. I'll just, you know, roll him over. After that, I'll be facing, which I can only assume because LJ Cruz lost to me, so he's going to lose to Mike Reed. So I'll be facing Mike Reed, which is another main event match, but it can't happen because the board decided to put us in the same side of the bracket.
Yeah.
The way I see things going on the other side of the bracket is you got Ty Reno, who I beat, versus some illegal alien. You have Matt Saigon, who I know he's your guest. I know he's your guest today. But here's my thinking on Matt Saigon, Crazy Ivan. Crazy Ivan is crazy, but Matt Saigon, he's smart, and smart always beats crazy. Why do I think he's smart? This is why. He dropped the dead weight. He got rid of the fusion. He got rid of the other guy. He kicks him to the curb. He goes solo. Now he's on the right path. But that path, unfortunately, collides with the illegal alien, who he has lost to 5 times in his career, and he has yet to beat.
Certainly, certainly. So this.
I've done my math. I've studied my opponents. Dean, I know you sound shocked because usually, I probably come here just full of confidence, not knowing about my opponents. I've done my math on these guys.
You've done your math. Now it's just time to be crowned the champion at Crowning Glory, of course, coming up this Saturday from the Proving Grounds.
Absolutely.
Now, are you going to play around with O-Dog a little bit in that first round match? I mean, is that your plan?
I don't really think there's much to play around with. I mean, it's like, you've been to the bar and you've seen that drunk guy trying to dance on the dance floor, and you know he's making a fool of himself. Do you really go in there and point and mock at him, or you just sit back and collect the babes? That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to roll him over. I'm going to collect the rewards, and then I'm going to move on to Mike Reed.
Well, I expect your co-host to show a little more respect. So, co-host from West Virginia, why don't you just pipe down for a minute?
Why is this wanker on the phone with us?
While a great man speaks to a great American.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Harry, but Dean, you didn't tell me Wayne Knight was here. I'm sorry, Wayne. How you doing?
I'm fine, Justin. How are you?
So, the real question is, who is the first defense going to be against once you win that New Moon Rising Wrestling Heavyweight Championship?
Well, obviously, because Dean and I are such good friends, I have to extend the courtesy to his man and give the people what they really deserve, a true main event that they should have gotten this month. So when I win this month, I'm offering, Dean, if you'll get the paperwork settled and everything, I'm offering Joe Gacy his title shot.
You know, I'll get the paperwork drawn up and we'll have Joe Gacy and you in September for the championship.
You mean August?
Yes.
August, September,
that's
whatever.
What comes after July.
I'm ready to defend this belt as much as I can, you know. I'm not gonna be like some of these other guys and have these non-title matches, tank tone, and, you know, continue to not defend my belt. I'm going to defend this championship, this championship. And it's going to be a championship that people are going to look at and say, you know what? This man, I know he's a great American, but he makes me feel proud to be a great American.
Yeah, I see, the reason I said September is because I wanted Harry to see the clinic that you two would put on.
Oh.
Well, that's just going to be, you know, the day of rest. I'll defend against somebody, you know, probably, I don't know, maybe a fearsome opponent, some guy from Conshohocken or another. But what I will do is in September, Harry and I, along with Robert Knight, we're jumping in Kit. We're cruising down to Marmora. And we're going to rub that belt and tank to all his injured face. So September's going to be a good month for us.
Oh, it's going to be a great month. I can't wait to see that. Can I come along for the ride?
You can come along, Dean.
Can you lose him on the way back?
Show respect, Don. Show respect.
I missed that question.
He said he was just, you know, kicking the piss. Anyway,
yeah.
Harry, do you have anything else for a great American such as Justin?
Well, I don't actually have any questions per se, but
good,
all
thanks,
I can
Harry,
really say Harry. Is Dan.
The great one was speaking to you, Joe.
All I can say is, you know, good luck, but you won't even need it. A great American is going to be taking home what he deserves.
Thank you. It's been a long time coming, you know. I know I took those years off to do what I had to do, but I'm back now, and it's been a long time coming.
That's well deserved, and I think we should be referring to you days early as champion, because it's only a matter of when.
You know, Harry, you are the representative of your, you know, native countries. And I would have to say, since you are referring to me as that, I will now consider myself a world champion.
Are you going to go over and visit England and defend the belt there?
I believe I just may.
Sounds fantastic. Sounds fantastic. Do you have anything
else? I'll do it in October. That's what I'll do. Harry and I will fly back. Harry will be in my corner, and we will defend that belt.
Cute.
Do you have anything else for us here tonight, Justin?
Well, nothing really. Actually, I do. I do. I know you already announced it, but I do want to let in everybody else get this extra plug in. My good friend and my one of my business partners in the Moose Knuckle Entertainment, which you can follow that on YouTube and the Twitter. He will be here this Saturday, Mr. Robert Knight.
Yay! It's the only thing you've said.
He will be in the commentary booth with Dean Dixon.
That is correct, and I am certainly looking forward to that.
That's like Michael Jordan and Larry Bird together.
Together for the benefit of all.
What about
Can
Dr. J?
Friday in September. Or Omega, who would that be, MMA wise?
The Dream Team.
Damn,
I'd be like throwing like Anderson Silva and John Jones potentially.
There you go. The Anderson Silva and John Jones of commentary is coming to Newman this month.
Sounds great to me. And I can't wait for it. Crown and Glory, of course, coming up this Saturday. And, Justin, I wait to shake your hand and salute you as the new Moon Rising Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. Thank you for joining us tonight, Justin.
Absolutely. And Dean, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna throw it down right now. I'm going to give you the first exclusive picture with the new champion. And, Harry, I'll give you, since I'm going to become a world champion now, I'm going to give you the first exclusive interview.
That feels good to know. Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
You have a good night, sir.
You too, and I'll see you Saturday.
So we are back, and I'll tell you what, Crown and Glory, if that doesn't get you excited to see a new champion crowned just in America after all his years of service, finally will be crowned the champion.
With music like that, how can he lose?
That's what I say. You have to see the whole total package, the entrance, everything. Just a wonderful, and you will see it in September. I can't wait, Omega.
Yes.
But I do have a caller right now, so I'm going to get them on.
Got to be more entertaining than Justin America.
Now, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hold on just a goddamn minute. First of all, this is Hell in the Cell's favorite female wrestler and favorite radio show guest. That should tell you exactly who it is.
It's Missy Sampson. How are you, Missy?
It's the one and only. But hold up. First of all, I'm left in the host queue for 7 fucking minutes while I have to listen to some kid who sounds like he probably needs a really good Down syndrome treatment and listen to you blow smoke up the poor kid's ass talking about, I'll just congratulate you now on being the new Moon Rising Heavyweight Champion. Get
Thank you.
Get out of here. First of all, 3 days in a row you're trying to have an interview who I'm going to call it right now. Is tomorrow's New Moon Rising Heavyweight Champion, Matt Sydal. And he's not even main eventing this goddamn radio show? so that you can blow smoke up some kid Justin's ass? Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, my goodness, Missy.
What's wrong with you?
I didn't mean to upset you, but I have my pick, and it's Justin America. For a better America.
Look, I never wanted to say this to you, dude, but I've seen the way you dress, so your taste is definitely in question.
Oh, come on now. Missy, this is
you know,
terrible.
Three days in a row, I'm waiting for a really good Matt Saigon interview. 3 days. And he's not, and I missed it. He's not, because you're not even giving him the respect to main event your radio show.
He originally did have the main event spot until we ran into some
sure
trouble.
Sure, he did.
I
well,
wanted
he should have
to
had the main event spot tonight.
Well, he was the only guest. It was dedicated to him.
Well, then he should still be on. I shouldn't have had to listen to that kid Justin.
He is a child.
Could you not find enough questions to fill up an hour long Matt Saigon interview? Are you that unprepared for your own job?
No, Miss. He seemed like he was busy, so you know, I let him get back to.
He doesn't close his gym till 10 o'clock, 10:15 on a wrestling night.
I thought I was doing him a favor by moving it along.
I am so disappointed.
I apologize, Missy. How can I make up this fault to you?
Let her kick you in the ass.
I don't know. No, you know what? You don't even have to make this up to me, because quite frankly, tomorrow night at New Moon Rising, Matt Saigon's going to make you eat your fucking words and all the smoke you just blew up that kid Justin's ass. You don't owe me anything. Saigon's going to make you eat your words tomorrow.
Well, you seem quite confident in Matt Saigon's abilities.
I'm very confident in Matt Saigon's abilities.
Now, Missy, I do have a question for you. Now, of course,
yeah.
You're very close with Kay Koa and Matt. Now,
they're two of my best friends, yes.
There's a very distinct possibility that they're going to meet in the semifinal round. Who are you going to cheer for in that case?
Honest answer?
Yeah.
I'll be at my nephew's wedding. I don't have to cheer for anyone. I get out of that. Wedding, and they're going to text me afterwards and let me know who won what, and then I can be like, oh, that's awesome. And to the other one, I could be like, oh, sorry, man, just wasn't your day. See, John, I don't have to cheer for anyone. I'm good.
Well, hey, that's an honest answer. I expect nothing more. Nothing less. I'm sorry. I'm a little flabbergasted. You got me off my game here.
I just like Emma. She's calling you on your crap.
Crap. Perhaps I should arrange a discussion with Joe Gacy and yourself.
What's a goddamn?
Please,
perhaps.
Please. If you for 1 second think I'm scared of Joe fucking Gacy, get the fuck out of here. That kid and his old tag partner were scheduled to wrestle me in a tag team match. They didn't even fucking show up. So don't tell me I'm scared of Joe Gacy. If you can get him to show up, he can talk to me.
You know what? Perhaps I should I should rethink this. Perhaps I should go with Missy Sampson.
Always,
Missy
always
Sampson by armbar.
Yes.
Always
now,
a smart choice.
Now, Missy, do you have anything coming up personally? While we have you, we might as well figure out what you're doing.
Plug my stuff? Yeah.
Yeah,
go
ahead.
My alter ego, Big Van Missy, will be at WXWC4 Sports Fest this Sunday in Allentown at Cedar Park. The following next Friday, July 26th, I'll be in Island, New Jersey at the Knights of Columbus for Pro Wrestling Syndicate's Bombshell Ladies of Wrestling. Two shows, one night, one price, and I'm heading there to right the wrong that was done to me at the last show when my Bombshell Ladies of Wrestling heavyweight title was taken from me without me being beat.
Oh, wow. Well, the referee called for a stoppage in that, of course. You were taking a lot of punishment, Missy. Let's call a spade here.
Wow, you really wanted to...
Hold on. Let's call a spade, okay? Was I getting punched in the face? Yup.
Repeatedly,
Was I knocked out? Nope. Was I even remotely knocked loopy? Nope.
Well,
did I tap out? Was I pinned? Nope and nope.
So
last
you're going back
checked,
there...
Last time I checked, those are how you got beaten in a professional wrestling match. You tap out, choke out, count it out, pin. None of those happened.
Or referee's discretion.
For what? For what, though?
Perhaps...
Hold on. I've broken various bones. Not one time have I ever had a match stopped for an injury. Ever.
Well,
if you're talking a 17-year career and a lot of broken bones and injuries.
Dean, I think she's got you on that one.
I have no rebuttal.
But that's okay, because next Friday, I personally am going to address and confront that referee.
Ooh. I think that's a can't-miss opportunity there, because I saw that guy.
Oh, he will tell me why he did what he did.
We're going to find out. So you're going to right the wrong. Get up there. Are you taking the title back? That's what you're telling us right here?
Well, what I'm telling you is that night I am scheduled to debut my new tag team, the Backseat Girls, with Ann Social in tribute to Trent Acid. Who they claim is their current women's champion, La Rosa Negra, is set to take on another Melissa in the form of Cheerleader Melissa. And that's on one show. There are two shows. So you never know what's going to happen. But I'm gunning for La Rosa Negra and my belt back.
All right, Missy. I do apologize again. I know you were trying to talk to Matt. I let you down, Missy. I hope somehow I can repay this debt that I owe you.
That's fine. Just make sure tomorrow, when Matt Saigon wins, you apologize and then congratulate him sincerely.
You have my word.
I'll make sure I record it for you, Missy.
Oh, please. I definitely want that on record, yeah.
I got it. No problem.
Good looking out.
Do you have anything else you want to plug? Your Twitter or your Facebook or anything?
Facebook, just look up Missy Sampson. My Twitter's at Wrestling Missy. That's about it. I'm actually pulling into the airport right now to pick up one Mia Yim.
Oh, she's back in town?
She's landing in Philly as we speak.
Oh, well. Well, say hi to Mia, because she was on here before, and she's always a great interview, so...
I would have had her call in with me, obviously, but she doesn't land till now, so
You always do bring great guests your way, you know. They always
the best guests.
They always follow. But Missy, thank you so much.
You're only saying that because you were a huge fan of me getting Daphne on.
You got a fan out of it. What do you want?
I'm not complaining. I'll get them.
I'll back you up till the death.
Woohoo! All right, guys, you have a good night.
You too, Missy.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was Missy Sampson.
Well, I found anything in that.
I was having flashbacks there to various yellings from my mother.
She was gonna start yelling. I thought she was going to start yelling about T-Bone, mother ever!
Wow. Hey, why'd you do that?
I don't know whether to hide or false so love.
Well, so Missy Sampson, she is pulling for Matt Saigon tomorrow night at Crowning Glory. We have talked about it in quite some detail. So I don't think there's really much more. My pick is Justin America. Dan, who's yours?
I'm going to put Matt Saigon so I don't die.
And Omega, as little as you know, I think we did ask you, but never made it air. Who do you pick?
Yeah, I believe I said something to the effect of that Matt Saigon was certainly a favorite to win, but I think I'm going to lean towards the real American, Justin America.
Oh, you scumbag.
That is a very good pick.
If nothing else, for that reaction.
Dan Henderson, the greatest fighter ever.
Now, guys, I'm going to go ahead and play some Mystery Men, and we'll be right back after this. It's Gear Up by the Mystery Men. All right, that was Gear Up by the Mystery Men, and we are back to talk about CZW, and they had their New Heights pay-per-view. Dan, I know you ordered the iPay-per-view. We live-tweeted. We pissed off some people, but whatever.
We did?
Oh, yeah, we did. I'll tell you about it off-air. I'll tell you about that off-air. Don't worry. You'll get a text.
You know what? That's fine. I'll listen to you off air. Good if they didn't like it. I'm sorry.
I was just going to run it down, but go ahead overall thoughts.
My overall summary, I was pleasantly surprised by this pay-per-view. It was very entertaining. I thought pretty much solid all around. There was, what segment killed it for me? It killed the crowd, too.
What was that long birthday
thing? Oh, the birthday thing.
Yeah. It just didn't end.
Ugh, God. That killed it for me, but they certainly burned the house down, as I say.
You know what? I'm a fan of DJ Hyde getting cake smashed in his face and watermelons smacked over his head and whatever. But, you know. There was a good half hour of nothing that went on. So
it really was. It was like, and I can't really complain about the production because it's one of the best, you know, independent iPay-per-view productions out there, if not the best.
I agree with that.
When they're on the mic, you can't hear a damn thing. So
yeah.
That birthday segment was just like, oh, end it already.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. The mic is very difficult to hear because they're only picking it up from the floor cams, I think.
Oh, my God. And I even know, I still don't know whose birthday it was.
I don't know either, as a matter of fact. Now, it started off, I feel bad for David Starr. Finally gets a chance to grab the mic and warm up the crowd, and the audio wasn't working on the iPad. All I could make out is Lucky 13 came out and gave him a stunner, and I don't know.
I didn't really know what was going on there either.
Now, it started off properly with the six-way dance, and of course, Dan, Shane Hollister, was your victor in that one, in a match that also featured the Dark Sheet, Caleb Connolly, Dave Christ, Shane Hollister, Ron Mathis, and Rory Mondo.
You know what? And they started off almost to the point where I'm like, all right, don't jump it too soon. You're going to have to wrestle the rest of the night, guys.
Yeah.
But it was very entertaining. Awesome, awesome opening match. Lots of, and you know what, as I was saying in my head, non-repetitive spots.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was very good, all new stuff. Each move was a different move, not a normal, he jumped again.
And that was followed up, so a very good opener. I think we both agreed on that one. And then it went to a clash of styles with Andrew Everett taking on Greg Excellent, and Everett picking up the win there. Very
Excellent.
Fun.
It's so fun to watch.
He is.
I love watching him from the entrance to the exit. Awesome to watch.
He is. That was a very fun match to watch. And, of course, the story being told is that Greg Excellent was going to get off that top rope, hit a move off the top.
Oh, I was so, I really thought he was going to do it.
He believes he can fly, and that was shown there. The next match was for the World Tag Team titles, the Champions Blackout, of course, with Robbie Marino taking on the Catalyst. And all I can say about that is the fans in Voorhees did not really care for the Catalyst.
Yeah. But also the fans of Voorhees were, I always get upset by indie wrestling crowds. I'll just say that. I'm sorry.
I don't think it was a bad crowd.
Maybe it was the volume of it then. Like, coming through.
No, I don't think it was a bad crowd.
No, that's what I'm saying. I said maybe it was just the volume of it all coming through. Because I was just watching it on a laptop. I wasn't watching it on a television. I was not home with my regular vices. I was visiting soon-to-be in-laws.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was just on my little laptop speakers.
That was, of course, followed up by the Robbie Marino, DJ Hyde, long promo. And then Alex Colon taking on Shane Strickland. Of course, Alex is with Chrissy Rivera and part of Four Loko. I thought that was a fantastic match, but unfortunately they had to follow that long segment.
Yeah, it was like the match that you had to... I'm sure they sent him out there to fire everything back up, but it just was... that's where I thought it was... I thought, oh, this is not a good sign for the rest of the evening. And plus, you know, they had to wrestle in cake the rest of the evening.
Yeah, I thought they did a pretty good job of getting that all.
Sweep it, bitch!
Yeah, I thought they did pretty good getting that all.
We didn't make the maintenance guy mad. Is that we made mad?
No, we didn't make... I'll tell you off air, Dan. Then there was an Ultraviolent Rules three-way. Devin Moore, Matt Tremont, Joe Gacy. Joe Gacy picking up the win when former star, and I guess he's current star now, he was just a referee that night, but hey.
Ah, yes.
He's back in the business. He's back in the dub, if you will. Drew Blood causing the distraction. Joe Gacy picking up on that distraction and getting a powerbomb off the top onto a table for the win.
My favorite moment of the night, really, outside of the wrestling action, was his reaction to him getting threatened. Was like, Drew Blood back in CZW was just a matter of time.
And, of course, that leads to the next event, which will be Tangled Web. Drew Blood and Scotty Vortex taking on, I believe it's Danny Havoc and Lucky 13 in that brutal match they call Tangled Web.
I'm sorry.
No, if you've never seen the Tangled Web, watch out for it.
I was going to say, and I got news for you. As far as CZW goes, they've got a fan back in me. Because like I said, I was on the board with the early days, and I kind of fell out of anything but Main Street Wrestling, period, to begin with, anyway. And I'm back on board for them.
Oh,
and,
definitely.
I will be revisiting them monthly. I will try. I really am going to try to get to a live show as soon as possible.
And then, of course, that was followed up by the number one contender match for the CZW Heavyweight Championship. And that was Drew Gulak taking on Tommy Dreamer. Gulak picking up the win after a lot of interference.
Yeah, I kind of lost track of what was going on there.
Be that as it may, you have a new number one contender, and that's Drew Gulak picking up the win there. Then, Dan, the match I really want to talk about, because, frankly, this is a match of the year contender. It was definitely the match of the night, and that is, of course, Four Loko, Azriel and Bandido Jr. Of course, you know, we support Four Loko here on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. They took on the Beaver Boys, formerly known as the Slap Hunters, and that's Johnny Silver and Alex Reynolds. Now, Silver and Reynolds picked up the win, but Dan, we talked about it briefly. It hasn't made air, but my goodness, this match was really something to see.
And I will say this, and I'll wait for you to mention it, but the spot of the night happened in this match, in my opinion. And again, the spot of the night in the match of the night. First of all, and I said it before, I'm just going to say what I said before. If these guys get in the ring, it's going to be a match of the night contender, period. If not match of the year. These guys are four of the best in the business today, period. Period. And the fact that those guys put on a flawless match, I mean, it was worth the $9.99 alone.
Oh, definitely. And you can even watch it again for 14 days after you order it. Can't beat that.
Oh, I can. Yes, that's right. I don't think I'm going to relive that one.
Now, again.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, the spot. I'm sorry. The
yeah,
spot, of course,
the spot.
Was a Mexican standoff, and then they all hit super kicks at the same time. Everybody goes down. Right out of Reservoir Dogs.
I'm telling you, the people that sound of my voice that have not seen CCW before or have not seen an indie wrestling match before, and you just happen to be listening to my voice, what is it? Go to CZW Wrestling, CZWrestling.com. Follow the link to the New Heights replay and watch this match, because this was done I can't think of another word other than flawlessly. I mean, it didn't look like that. It didn't look planned. They didn't, like, jokingly fall into position and they all stood. It looked perfect, this four-way kick. It was unbelievable. I literally sat there and picked my jaw off the floor.
Oh, it was fantastic. It really was. And but moving on, I really felt bad for both these guys. Both of them are great workers. A.R. Fox taking on Biff Busick. And I just felt bad for him because they had to follow up, literally, I really think, a match of the year contender.
They tried, man. I mean, it wasn't a bad match. It was just, you know, after an amazing match. And, yeah, it was entertaining. And it looks like they beat the hell out of each other. They certainly worked hard enough.
Certainly, certainly. And then that was followed up, of course, by the main event, which was for the World Heavyweight Championship of Combat Zone Wrestling. And that was Masada, the champion, taking on Chris Dickinson, the returning Chris Dickinson. And all I can say about this match is I really feel bad for Masada. It's obvious that the man is in pain. Tonight they're doing a benefit show for Masada. It's probably already over by now. But they were in North Philly doing a benefit show. Maven Bentley put it on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was some great action there, I'm sure. But let me just tell you, I really hope the guy gets the help he needs. Of course, Masada is a full-time wrestler. This is where he makes his money. So if he doesn't work, he doesn't get paid. If he doesn't get paid, he can't pay for this surgery, which he needs.
I really tell you, I donated to the cause only from experience with the knee surgery. And again, you heard the interview, we talked about it. I don't understand how he's walking. Let alone
taking bumps and everything on it and figure fours and God knows what else. But Masada, he is a trooper. Now, the match ended very quickly when Masada picked up the win. But after the match, the campaign for a better combat zone, and that is, of course, Drew Gulak and his gang, took out Masada, Christina Von Erie, who came out to help, and Dickinson. So Gulak is really putting it all out there, Dan.
Listen, he thinks he can be the one that changes the company. And if he keeps it up, he's going to get his way. I mean, I don't know what he's really going to do to help it. But
yeah, so I don't know if that's going to happen at Tangled Web. I'm not sure what's going to happen as far as that. The only thing announced so far for Tangled Web is, of course, the main event, which will be the Neptown Dragons taking on the Nation of Intoxication. But Dan, overall, especially with the Match of the Year contender, I really got to give this two thumbs up, shall we say, because that was really a fantastic card, even with the bumps in the road, such as long 30 minutes without wrestling.
Nah, it was entertaining enough. I agree with you. Great, great, solid show. The wrestling itself carried it, and the personalities itself carried it. That's what I was trying to think.
Now, Omega, I know you watched Money in the Bank because I just know you did. Now, of course, Rob Van Dam came back in the main event. The main event was, of course, for the WWE Championship. I was not pleased with the winner of that match, and that was, of course, Randy Orton.
No.
No, I wasn't either. I mean, I had hoped for somebody other than Randy Orton to go over, I guess.
Anyone but Randy Orton, and I probably would have been happier.
Anybody but Randy Orton.
Maybe not Sheamus, but
no, still Sheamus.
Anybody but Randy Orton.
No, still Sheamus, I would have been happy.
Yeah, Sheamus. I would have loved to watch his pasty ass carry the title a little more.
Yeah.
Just anybody but Randy Orton.
But I did like the RKO off the ladder.
Yeah. Yeah. But it just was very odd. Of course, Paul Heyman in the match turned on CM Punk. I didn't buy it until Raw the following night.
Oh, God. Oh. Yeah. Oh,
very good promo.
Segment of the year.
There's a lot.
That topped the Mark Henry turn for me.
Yeah.
Well, very close, very close.
Oh, it was amazing. And literally, he turned that around. He turned CM Punk. Not that CM Punk couldn't do it. I'm not saying that at all. But just with Paul Heyman said, number one face in the company now. And I mean that over John Cena.
Well, that's before when he was a face, that was the trouble. Of course, he was battling for position with Cena. We'll see. We'll see. No, I personally think Brian's a top face, but
I don't think Cena can hold. No offense. I don't think Cena can hold a kid to CM Punk.
Well, but merchandise sales and everything else say quite differently now.
I was talking about performance.
Well, sure, if you're talking performance, but if you're talking about who brings in the money for the company.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
I was talking about.
Yeah. Well, I take the whole package in, Dan.
Well.
Now, a disappointing match for me because they built this man up to be a very. And it was just a transitional opponent, it seems. Mark Henry losing to John Cena.
Yes.
How do you feel about it, Omega?
I mean, I think I would have liked to have seen Mark Henry go over, but, I mean, you know, given the subsequent events, I mean, I can kind of, if that was where they're going, I get it, but I'm not sure I'm a fan of the angle.
Yeah, I just don't know. You bring him up like that, bring him up as a monster and all that, and then just let it go so quickly. I hate when you have a monster tap out. Makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Well, you'd think he could just push him off or roll over on top of him and, you know.
Yeah.
No, that's what Justin America's going to do to O-Dog, apparently.
Yeah.
No, and I know I might cut cheap for this, I love the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Over him already.
I love it. I'm going to wait for this to fester for a little while and see how it goes.
Over it already.
I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not over it yet. I mean, I still like the entrance a lot. I just, you know, they need to do something.
Yeah, something bigger would be better.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the promo was good, though.
Well,
a little weird, but it was. I guess that's kind of the point with them.
Well, of course, tonight Mark Henry on SmackDown turned face. So, you have that.
I don't understand that. He was always better as a heel.
He's much better as a heel.
I mean, I would have gone, even if he lost this match, I would have gone with another rematch with Cena. But given where they're going, I'm actually happier with Brian. But
yeah. Well, yeah. As far as what is that? Is that SummerSlam?
SummerSlam.
Yeah. Now I've been hearing rumors that after Brian wins the title from Cena, Orton's going to turn heel and cash in immediately after. They're going to keep him off TV because he has the legit injury that he got at Tuesday's SmackDown tapings. And so it's going to be a big surprise when he comes out and cashes in on Daniel Bryan.
Less than I have to see him.
Now, Alberto Del Rio retained the championship when Ziggler was disqualified for AJ Lee's interference. Not much to say about that one.
Yeah, it was kind of meh.
Ryback defeating Chris Jericho. Again, not much to say about that one either.
Other than Jericho actually managed to finagle a passable match out of Ryback.
Yeah.
Well, there was that. And
he could get a passable match out of anybody.
There was that, and the fact that this is probably Jericho's last match for a little while because he is back on tour with Fozzy.
No, not probably. It is.
Yeah.
So
it's official.
Yeah.
Well, I know he's back on tour, but you never know when he will come back.
Wow, that match with on Monday night was great.
Oh, with Rob Van Dam.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Everybody's saying, you know, who Rob Van Dam, you know, phoning it in for the last 4 years at TNA. He certainly didn't phone it in Monday.
Or I don't think he phoned it in at Money in the Bank either.
Well, I don't think I haven't seen Money in the Bank. I only read the report.
Yeah, I guess I'm the only one that wasn't blown away by that match.
Shut up, Chris.
I thought it was fine.
You're bad.
But I don't know. I just
bad.
RVD seems so slow.
No, bad. It was bad.
I don't think he was slow per se.
He's older.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but I was just like, everybody's raving about your match. They told a great story, don't get me wrong, but
great match, Chris.
I wasn't blown away, I guess. I don't know.
You're allowed to. I won't hold it against you. You're stupid. see, I thought it was great. I don't think it was like, oh my God, it's 1998 again, but it was great.
And then we had the Intercontinental Championship, Axel retaining, and of course Damian Sandow picking up the win in the World Heavyweight, which was a big surprise, I thought.
Yeah,
I'm very happy about that.
Well, I can be happy with it, but the way they're booking him now is gonna, you know, we're going down the Ziegler route.
I'm still Sandow equals ratings to me. Love that guy. Love it.
I think it's a good act. I liked it better when Lanny Poffo was doing it.
I didn't because I hated Lanny Poffo.
And then, of course, on the pre-show, everybody was talking about this one, the Shield retaining their titles against the Usos. So there's Money in the Bank.
Why that was on the pre-show?
Well, I mean, I thought it was a pretty packed show.
I just don't like the tag title thing.
Yeah. Money in the Bank was a pretty good show.
From what I read, it was a good show. Like I said, I did not get a chance to actually see it yet.
Yeah, overall, it was pretty good. I mean, there's certainly the spots, and the Money in the Bank matches always deliver for some reason. Because there's a lot less, I guess, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Money in the Bank is always going to be one of those things that's very good. Now, Dan, you're free to go as Omega and I take it into overtime with some MMA discussion.
Gentlemen, enjoy.
Okay, Dan, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'll see you Saturday, and you gentlemen have a good evening. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, Dan83. Good night, folks.
He had to get in his plug, didn't he?
Yes, I had to get in my plug! Good night!
Just had to.
I'm not going to leave until you play the intro.
I wasn't going to play the intro, but...
Oh, okay, goodbye. Okay, bye.
Well, of course, Invicta Fighting Championship 6 was on iPay-Per-View. I know you caught it, but before we talk about it, I want to talk... Well, we're talking about it. But round 4, there is a new Invicta Fighting Championship featherweight champion, and that is Cyborg.
Yes, she's just as bad as you think she is. Bad as she ever was. She was really out-muscling Marloes Koenen throughout this entire match. It was really, by the middle of the second round, you could see the error of inevitability on Koenen's face. She just didn't have anything for Cyborg's strength. What she did see was a more reserved and tactical Cyborg, which was surprising. You know, you normally expect to see this aggressive Cyborg that comes out and just whales punches, very cautious, fighting smart, you know, using her reach, using counter punching, just keeping the pressure on Koenen, but not overwhelming her until the very end when she actually got the TKO.
So what does this mean? Because is there anybody you feel that can compete with her in Invicta?
The only one you know, really could be considered is Elaine Gomez, Adrianne Gomez, who actually had a fight was supposed to have a fight on Invicta's card, and it got canceled because her opponent got a knee injury literally minutes before the fight.
Oh wow!
Wait,
how did she get a knee? She was backstage, you know, warming up.
Presumably, she was warming up and had a. Some kind of tweaked her knee somehow.
Wow.
So, it's the they had a very tough time with this card. They had a very last minute change to the card with Olivia von Plettenberg on the preliminary card. Comes in way overweight for her fight. Her opponent decided she didn't want to fight at that weight because she was too small. So they pulled in another girl on 24 hours notice, Kathina Catrone, who actually held her own for two rounds and stuck with her for unanimous decision victory. So they had a very tough time with that. But getting back to Cyborg, Edian Gomez is really the only other person that seems like has a shot right now. I don't know. I mean, she's tough. I mean, she's just that good. I mean, there's nothing much else to say about it. I mean, until we find more women's MMA at 145, we're going to have to probably live with Cyborg at the top of the heap for some time.
Definitely. Is there anything else on the card that you thought was noteworthy? Of course, I didn't see it. I was watching CZ.
Well, I mean, I talked about it before, but for the $15 I paid for this card, I really got my money's worth out of it. There were a lot of very competitive fights. It was booked very, very well. A couple things caught my mind. The Tisha Torres defeating Rosa Namajunas was a great fight to start off the card. Both those ladies looked really, really good and very, very competitive. The one thing I noticed is Miriam Nakamoto, who defeated Duda Yankovic via knockout in round one. She looks dangerous as a Muay Thai striker. At 135, you know, she looks like the type of person that can put on exciting fights, can put girls out, and can cause a lot of problems for a lot of girls. So if I'm sitting there at bantamweight and I'm sitting there and maybe in the UFC, I'm thinking, this could be someone I want to pull over and maybe get in the rankings and see if she can move up and potentially fight Rousey. They're going to have to do that fairly quickly, though, because she is 36 years old.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it's hard to say whether or not she's going to get there or not, but I mean, she looks deadly. I mean, nothing else to say. Knees and elbows, just brutal. I would like to see her take on some more challengers, some better competition going forward. Former atomweight champion Jessica Penny riled off a submission win over Nikdali Rivera-Kalinok. Looking strong, looking like the better fighter, looking like she wants to get back in and try to reclaim her title that she lost for Michelle Waterson in her previous fight. So that was pretty good. Some more competitive fights with Lauren Taylor defeating Sarah D'Aleo, Leslie Smith defeating Jennifer Maia, both some competitive fights. And then for the strawweight title eliminator, both these girls were coming in undefeated, and Claudia Gadella. is defeated Ayaka Hamasaki via TKO in round three. She really controlled that fight for the entire fight. Looked really strong wrestling, really strong top control. Just bullied Hamasaki on the ground for the entire fight. She looks like she is going to get Carla Esparza in her next fight. So setting up that title fight looks pretty interesting. But overall, like I said, good card. I thought it was really well matched up. And like in for 9 fights for $15, and they're all pretty competitive. It was well worth the money.
Yeah. Now that leads to my next question. Do you think that they are going to be seen as a contender and eventually swallowed up by UFC, or are they going to be left alone for a while?
I don't really see any reason for UFC to snap them up, because I think they're. I think with UFC's got problems, probably got too many fights and too many fighters right now anyway.
Yeah.
Too many divisions. You know, we see we got next week coming up, the flyweight title for the UFC is going to be on the line on a Fox card. So they don't even have room. And when they were looking, they didn't have a place to put the Weidman-Silva rematch because they already had title fights booked up for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any reason for UFC to try to absorb Invicta at this time. I think I think Invicta's fine on its own. It's a fine feeder organization. Let them have the bantamweight fights once in a while, and if someone makes some noise, then okay, pull them in and let them be that. I think they have a good relationship. Obviously, they've loaned UFC and Invicta have loaned fighters back and forth. I don't think Invicta is going to hold anybody who can fight at 135 from going to the UFC. They really don't have. I mean, there's really not that much in the way of competition. I think it helps the UFC to have the Invicta out here and kind of trying to drum up more interest in women's MMA and potentially into the UFC bantamweight division. If something becomes big, if the strawweight division becomes big, if you know something like that, then UFC can make a decision whether or not they want to start having a division. But for now, with very few realistic challengers, in just being I think UFC content just letting this be an outlet for women's MMA.
Yeah, okay. I mean, but then again, people were saying the same thing before with WEC.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they were, but then the UFC started expanding, doing pay-per-views and getting on network TV and that kind of stuff, and then they really needed more. They needed more fighters. And needed more divisions to fill out cards. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're in that position now. If anything, they're pretty bloated right now.
Yeah.
So that's just my opinion.
But it's so weird because you say they're bloated, and then you have so much trouble in some divisions, like the heavyweight division. After the top two, you know, it kind of gets a little shady.
Well, they're not necessarily bloated on a contender side. To your point, they do have thin divisions, but they have a lot of fighters, and they have a lot of fighters they try to keep active, so they have plenty of fights to put on. So their cards have a number they don't have any trouble filling out cards for the rest of the year, you know, or for any given point. So they have a number of they can pull fights from other cards, and they have enough men's divisions to stack the cards up and put on you know TV shows and pay per views, and they don't need to have. Need to have another two or three divisions to make it up.
I got you.
We don't see the flyweights that often, you know, because there's fewer of them, obviously. But you know, if you can put a title fight on a free TV, then yeah, you probably got enough.
Too much, yeah.
Enough people, you know.
Now another story that broke today: Dana White went on SI Now, which is a Sports Illustrated show. Hosted by Maggie Gray, and he blasted them because they were saying. Now the panel did say they didn't think that the Silva and Weidman fight was fixed, but there was a lot of discussion that it could have been. And Dana White, this is a quote from him. He says, "I honestly thought you guys were calling to apologize because you were embarrassed at how ridiculous your show was." And he went on and on about. That they're controlled by the same regulations as boxing, that sort of thing, and the same type of committees and everything. Just your thoughts that people are still talking about this this late after everything.
Ridiculous. You know, I just don't see it. It wasn't fixed. You know, there's that little seed of doubt, and the media is just running with it at this point. I think Dana White has every reason to be mad. You know, would I handle it in that manner? Probably not. But that's Dana White, and that's his shtick.
I like Dana White's shtick.
Yeah. No, well, you know, I as a coming from the corporate world, I'm a little bit more cautious about those things.
Yeah,
It's not that I don't find it entertaining because I do, but you know, as president of a company, I just can't see doing that.
I think it's just because of the type of company it is, and that's always been his way to handle things is just to go on and blast people. Now, the thing that I was always saying because I've had a few discussions about this with. Casual fans, not people that really follow it, they're like, oh, it was fixed because they want to set up the rematch and this and that and the other. And it's like, well, they wouldn't put so much on the line. You're talking about a conspiracy the size of the JFK assassination for all this. You have to have Dana White getting Anderson Silva and all his coaches in on it, presumably.
Yeah.
Weidman to go along with it. And then you have to get past all the regulations. You have to get – this could potentially shut down the UFC as you know it.
The risk is way too high.
Just to get a rematch, please.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you want to set up a rematch, you set up the rematch. You know, why give Weinman another win and set up a rematch? Mm-hmm. If it's a close fight, you set up the rematch. How many times did Frankie Edgar have to suffer through a rematch? You know.
Mm.
I mean, this no. There is no, absolutely no reason to risk that, to risk a national television deal,
mm-hmm.
to risk the livelihood of your company, to risk alienating fans who pay $50 to watch your pay-per-views, to lose all credibility as an organization. No, absolutely not. I mean, this is the UFC is so consolidated. They're the only game in town that matters.
Yeah,
it's too much risk to try to fix a fight, to make a quick buck, when the long-term cash flows are so much more.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Fight. I mean, they're a long-term company. They're not going to just willy-nilly go, yeah, we want a rematch, you know,
yeah,
December 28th. It's stupid.
It makes no business sense, which is the ultimate reason why it's not fixed.
Yeah. You know? And who was it? Big Nog was saying if people found out, so even he's buying into it.
Well, everybody loves a good conspiracy.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, if people found out, they'd be, you know, so upset with what happened. Rubbish. Now, last bit of news I did want to touch on. One of my favorite fighters of all time. You could call him a legend in this business. The janitor is back in Bellator.
Yes, I saw that today.
Bellator 99, going to be headlined September 13, 2013, by none other than, say it, Omega.
Vladimir Matyushenko.
Yes, and he is going to take on Christian Pambu or something?
Mutombo?
I didn't know.
I forgot. I can't pronounce it without looking at it.
But there you go. You have what do you think of this? I mean, they're trying to bolster up their light heavyweight now that they have Rampage in there, and what's going on with this?
I mean, they need fighters. Really, it's really all it comes down to. I mean, they Bellator might as well make it. I mean, they make their name off of new basically UFC washouts. You know, the janitor's a name. He can put the. I don't know if he's going to add any ratings, but at least he's someone that the MMA fans know, and you know, generally has some good fights.
Well, he's 26-7.
Yeah, I mean, he's a name. You know, it's the same reason they hire Rampage.
Yeah,
just
to get people to go, oh, okay.
Yeah, I know this guy. I'm familiar with this guy. You know, he's not. So maybe I'll tune in for the other three matches with guys I don't really know. Because I don't watch UFC.
Yeah, true.
Now, it's fine. Hey, I'm glad for the janitor. He gets a payday. Man's got to eat.
Yeah, very true. I'm just happy he's back because I always enjoyed him just because he looks like a janitor.
He really does.
He looks like a janitor that somehow along the way of his, you know, cleaning up the school, he decided to pick up MMA, and there he is. And he's pretty old, right? I mean, he's getting up there.
I believe he's like 36, 30 something.
Yeah, I thought late 30s at least.
Yeah, late 30s. I mean, I think the UFC was fine to drop him. I mean, I think it makes sense.
Well, in my opinion, if they drop Fitch, they got to drop the janitor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. I still don't think they should have dropped Fitch. But, well, now in retrospect, maybe they did the right call. But
hey.
Since his lost there, but
Dana White even said it. You know, this guy used to be, you know, number two, and you know he just kept on going and going and going.
Oh, he's 42.
Oh, okay. See, I thought.
42.
Yeah, I know he's older. Now, of course, July 27th. That's the next UFC on Fox. And as you said, Demetrius Johnson is going to defend his flyweight title. Where do you see this one?
Well, congrats to Mighty Mouse, who just became a father today.
Oh, congratulations.
So he's got that on top of having a fight in a week. So, I think this is a good fight for Mighty Mouse. I think he's got the advantage on this one on John Moraga. I'm not sure that Moraga is quite ready for a title shot, but he gets the benefit of Johnson basically cleaning out the division in one way or shape or form. He's either beaten the other contenders, or he's beaten someone who's beaten them. So. I think he's getting a favorable draw with Moraga, even though Moraga is 13-1, and is a good fighter. But we'll probably talk about this more next week. But I think I like Mighty Mouse in this fight. You know, presuming he's not losing too much sleep with that new kid.
Yeah, you do have to think about that first week of being a new father. My goodness.
Yeah.
Now, Karamush is also making her return on the card. So Robbie Lawler, of course, coming off a big win his last time in the cage. So then, of course, I think the co-main event is really good, too. McDonald against Ellenberger. We'll talk more about this on Wednesday, but... it looks like a really good card. Now, do you see anything on the prelims, or did you want to talk about anything on the main card?
I think there's a lot of good fights I'm interested in here. I mean, I think obviously Rory McDonald, Jake Ellenberger is the big one. Rory McDonald said he won't fight GSP, but so if Jake Ellenberger gets past McDonald, he's got to be in the conversation to say, I want GSP.
Wait, who is GSP's next fight?
Hendricks.
That's right.
Yeah, well, GSP or Hendricks, whoever.
I don't know. I think Hendricks might have his number. I'm really on the Hendricks train here.
Yeah, that's an interesting fight. Hendricks is tough, and he's got some power. And we've seen lesser strikers knock out GSP before.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
I think Hendricks might be. I think this could really be, with the exception of Jones, possibly Kane. We're really going to see a changing of the guard soon, with all the. Well, I think the lightweight and the flyweight are probably safe where they are.
Really, because they announced last week that because of an injury to TJ Grant, Benson Henderson now fights Anthony Pettis.
Oh no.
And we've seen that one before.
Of course, that was the Showtime kick.
That was the Showtime kick. So that one is. I'm terribly excited for that fight. I'm ridiculously excited.
When is that? That has to be a pay per view. They're not going to give that away.
That is a pay per view. That's September, maybe, or August.
That's going to be good.
That one's going to be.
Well, I think the rest of the year, really, when you look at it, we should.
Oh, it's August 31st.
Yeah. But if you look at the rest of the year in UFC, just filled. I mean, you got the Hendricks, GSP. You have that fight that you just mentioned. You have Kane and Dos Santos coming up soon. You just have all these great fights.
Well, and then at the end of the year, the rematch.
Two fights, yeah.
The rematch, Weidman versus Silva. Two rematches, you're right. Well, yeah, Weidman versus Silva and Rousey and Tate.
Now, Rousey, of course, and Tate, the first time was March 3rd, 2012. Tate really didn't show much in that fight. She was aggressive, as she usually is. She comes right out, and she's ready to engage. She has to change the game plan. I don't know how you come up with a game plan against Rousey, because she's going for you. She's going to flip you, and she's going to go for the armbar. You got to somehow defend against her judo, number one, and then her ground game.
You got to keep her off you. Mm. So you got, in my mind, you got to keep her what we haven't really seen from Rousey is a takedown in the traditional sense where you shoot for it.
Yeah.
She's going to press you up against the cage. She's going to clinch you, and she's going to judo toss you one way or another.
I think the best game plan we saw was Karamouche.
Yeah. Karamouche had probably the better game plan, just couldn't execute it. I mean, I think what you got to do
is... That close, though.
Yeah, I don't know if it was that close.
Well,
it was. It looked bad, but I don't know if it was that close to finishing.
Let me live my dream.
But no, if you want to beat Rousey, I think really what you have to do is you have to keep her at length. You have to be a good striker. You have to keep her at length and avoid letting her get close to you.
I don't think Tate's that good a striker, though.
No, I don't think Tate is that good. Tate's strength is wrestling.
Yeah.
And look at where that got her. Plus, she's coming off a loss against a good striker.
Yeah.
So, in Kat Zingano, so.
I think, not next week, but we got to run down the rest of USC in 2013, because there is just so much. And you even have Jose Aldo and the Korean Zombie coming up.
Yeah, that's just around the corner here.
Yeah, I mean, that's what? That's UFC 163.
163.
Let's just look at that card real quick. Oh, Machida's taking on Davis? Oh. Oh.
Yeah, it was an injury.
Oh.
For who is he fighting? Who is he fighting?
It's Machida and Davis.
Yeah, but I forget who he was fighting originally. I don't think he was fighting Davis originally.
But no, that was Koscheck was fighting my... I don't...
I'd have to look it up. I can't remember. It's because it's Friday night and I've turned off my brain. But yeah, that one's that's another Brazil card, so it's going to be packed full of Brazilians.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Is that a paper? Yeah, that is a pay-per-view. Huh. Doesn't look like that strong a card. But, whoa, Shogun versus Sonnen? That's really happening.
Yep.
Wow. Oh, well. Overeem's back, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, you just look at the next couple months.
Yeah.
Just in the title fights, Aldo versus the Korean Zombie, Henderson Pettis, Jones versus Gustafson, which is really interesting.
You think Gustafson has a good shot?
I think Gustafson has a real decent shot. I'm not sure. I pick him, but he's close.
Well, we know what happened last time we picked somebody.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. And then, you know, all the major titles are on the line here before the end of the year. Again, Jones, we said talk about Jones. Kane versus Junior Dos Santos 3. That's coming up. St. Pierre Hendricks, Weidman Silva, Rousey Tate, plenty of MMA.
Yeah, definitely. Man, I got like a cough right now. Hold on a second. Say something.
Say something. Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, next week we'll talk about that card, the Johnson card more. I think that's going to be, at least if that's on free TV, so, I mean, at best, you've got some stuff to talk about there. I mean, just so much stuff of MMA coming down the pike, and then, you know, whatever else comes our way with the World Series of Fighting and Bellator, I mean, it's really good. I mean, Invicta's going to have another card before the end of the year, too, and then we'll definitely probably see. Obviously, we'll see Carlos Esparza versus Gadahela there, and then hopefully we'll see some more good action.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Omega, the rest of this year is going to be packed. My goodness, I don't know what I'm inhaling right now. It's not good though, Omega. My goodness. But with that said, we finally got Matt Saigon done. Talked to him about his big card coming up. That, of course, is tomorrow with Crowning Glory. The first round matches are as follows. It's going to be Crazy Ivan taking on Matt Saigon. Keikoa the Flying Hawaiian will be taking on Ty Reno. Justin America will be taking on O-Dog and Mike Reed and LJ Cruz. That's all in the quarterfinals. The winners will advance. The losers fight another day. Of course, there have been a few other matches announced. The Carnival of Carnage. I present the Masked Maulers taking on Chainsaw Joe Gacy. We're also going to see non-title tag team elimination match, triple threat. It's going to be the Legion of Anarchy, the Untouchables, and the Flows. And a match I'm pretty excited to see. It's going to be Bandido Jr. coming back to the Proving Grounds. He is going to take on Lance, the son of the Samoans, is the best thing I can say. He's Sam's son up there in Allentown. Sam, of course, is Samu. So that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal.
Big card.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be huge. It's going to be a long night, and I'm going to show everybody what Joe Gacy is made of. Because these mass maulers, watch out. Watch out for them, Omega. Now,
I generally avoid people with masks.
You know, you can't trust them.
No.
You can't trust people with masks. Now, Omega, where can the fine people find you once again?
People can follow me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
And, of course, we'll be live tomorrow with a pre-show, possibly talking to a few more of the Elite Eight. Perhaps Bandito will stop by as well. You never know. So that's tomorrow on Wednesday, and it seems everything's fixed now on this end. So on Wednesday, the Reverend Bob Levy will return, and we're going to talk about T-Mobile, Howard Stern, and skunks.
Yeah, I wonder if the Reverend Bob is an MMA fan.
What? Why don't we? You know, I haven't seen him tweet. He is a sports fan.
He was into boxing, right?
I don't know. Well, he of course had a fight with Danny Bonaducci, a celebrity boxing fight. And if you want to talk about fixes, he'll tell you about that one.
But suffice it to say, it should be an interesting night.
Yes, next week will be very interesting. He said he wanted to stay the whole time. I have no problems with that. So
I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah. You know, when you get Bob Levy, might as well. And he's the only one scheduled for next week. So that should be fun. We'll also talk some UFC. We'll talk about what happened at Crown and Glory. And who knows, maybe get a special interview with the winner, whoever that may be. Now, you can also check out everything on HIACtalkradio.com. Check out the Facebook, facebook.com/HIAC Talk Radio. And, of course, the Twitter is also HIAC Talk Radio. There's a thread there. There's a common theme, if you will, Omega, to that.
That's clever branding. That's what that's called.
Yes. And, of course, follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/HellInACell. And, of course, you can find the archives there. Go back through. Get prepped for Bob Levy because he's there, of course, in the archives as well. Tully Blanchard, of course, Omega's favorite interview of all time.
My favorite interview of all time, man.
We also have had so many people. Thanks to all them. Thanks to Matt Saigon for sticking with us through this, what was a very trying week. Thanks, of course, to Harry Barnett and Justin America. And Matt Saigon, if you want to follow him on Twitter, is SaigonXSpecial. And Justin America is Justin American 82, and Harry Barnett is Instant Classic HB. I am, of course, Folsom County, the Dean of Credibility. I'll see you all and talk to you all tomorrow at Crowning Glory. And I'll tell you, it's going to be something else, Omega.
I'm sure it will be.
But have a good night.
You too.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio is recorded before a live studio audience.
Just looking out of the window, watching the asphalt.